Before we commence, I'll just tell you that Mrs. Janet Pack passed to her eternal rest this morning. She is the mother of Alison, and our sympathies go to Alison and Peter and all their family and those connected with her. And we do pray that the Lord will sanctify these things in our hearts and remember the family with much mercy. May we be helped to commence with hymn 1129. Jesus, we come to thee, with thee our Lord and King, to bow before thy feet and hear thy praises sing. Compassion on us have, we pray, and empty send us not away. Hymn 1129.
readings this morning are firstly from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapters 55 and 56, 55 and 61, I beg your pardon, and then from the epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 2, and commence with Isaiah, chapter 55. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be, that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, that shall not be cut off. And then if you would turn on to chapter 61, Isaiah chapter 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your ploughmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. The men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. And then, lastly, from the Epistle to the Hebrews, we'll read chapter 2. Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man, that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honour, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that was not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted. May the Lord bless his own word to us and help us each to pray. Kind and ever gracious God, once more in thy mercy we are favoured with the return of thy day and favoured with an opportunity to meet in thy house. Lord, we have these mercies so frequently given. May we not take anything for granted. Lord, may we truly count it a privilege and a blessing to be free to meet together in this way. Lord, thou hast appointed us our life in a place of the world where we have much freedom. And we thank thee and bless thee for this. May not it be a chore or only a duty, as it were, to come together in thy house. But may it be a joy and something that we are able to look forward to. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt hear the prayer of the hymn that we have sung, that none might go empty away. Lord, we are reminded of the times when upon earth when thou didst feed thousands of people in a miraculous way. And Lord, we are not of that number, but yet Lord, we do pray as it was with them that they were all fed and they were all filled. So Lord, it is no difficulty for thee to bless each one of us this day. Lord, could it please thee to pour out such a blessing upon us that every heart might say we are not empty, sent away. Lord, thou knowest what particular food, as it were, is needed in each different heart today. Oh Lord, we do beg that as it was on another occasion of blessing at Pentecost, when each one heard in their own language, Lord, may that be our experience and our blessing today, that those that need to hear simple things might be enabled to understand, those that need the milk of the word might be blessed with that simplicity. And Lord, those that may be in need of strong meat, that they shall receive thy word in that deeper way. Lord, if there are those that are perplexed, do give guidance and direction. Lord, may each of us be brought to pray much concerning the way that we go, the decisions that we have to take. Lord, do guide and direct us in all these things. May we ever be attentive to hear thy word of direction to us. Lord, we do pray as we have been reminded for those that mourn. Lord, thou hast appointed those passages of scripture to be read before we had any idea of that news. And Lord, do send that comfort to those that mourn. And Lord, there is that blessing to be known if we are able to mourn, but not without hope. And Lord, we pray that there shall be that comfort granted, and that these things, though not what we would choose naturally, but may they be made a blessing and a help to some. Lord, do uphold the family then of the one who has passed away. Do be with them, and Lord, do dry up, as it were, their tears. May they know thy presence and thy upholding in this difficult path. Lord, we do pray that these things may be a lesson and a teaching for us each. Lord, we are all appointed to die. We are all appointed to face thee at the judgment seat. Lord, we ask that we may be have our minds solemnized to these things, to be brought to pray unto thee, that we shall be found ready. That, as that description was of the centurion's servant, that he was ready to die. Lord, may that be our portion in thy way and time, we ask. Lord, we do pray for those that are sick. We understand one in hospital. Lord, do be with him where he is today. Though not in perhaps the best of circumstances, yet Lord, may thy presence still be with him. Do help him to meditate upon thy word. Do comfort and help him, bless him with that knowledge that thou art with him, we pray. Lord, others perhaps we know not of who are not here for whatever reason, Lord, may they be blessed where they are. Lord, thou knowest every detail, every circumstance of our lives. We thank thee that thou art not only able to be in one place as we are, but Lord, be with us here and with each that is absent, we ask. May this be a day of good tidings to thy people. And Lord, may we know that felt liberty of the Spirit of God amongst us. Lord, without that we shall gather in vain. We shall indeed be empty, sent away, if we are left to our own strength and our own wisdom. Do thou come, Lord, and meet with us, we pray. Touch each heart before thee. Lord, we also we would give thanks unto thee for the life of Zachary. We thank thee, Lord, for a safe delivery, and we pray for thy blessing to be upon him and upon his parents. Lord, do uphold them. Guide and teach them each, we pray. And as he grows naturally in strength and health, Lord, may there be that time when he shall grow in grace and in a knowledge of thee. Oh, Lord, and what we would seek for him, we seek for each. Oh, Lord, do remember the children and young people before thee today. Lord, do be very present in their lives and a very present help to them in school or college or whatever they are occupied in. Do, Lord, grant them that measure of success in examinations that will be good for them. As Lord, thou knowest what the future holds for each one. We pray that they may know thy help, and may they be brought even in these providential matters to commit them unto thee and to prove thy help and thy direction in all things. Lord, we do seek for that blessing upon all in whatever pathway we may have before us. Lord, thou knowest what even this week shall hold for us each. Perhaps there are things that we plan to do and expect to happen. Lord, we pray that we may not take these things for granted, but ever remember that it is if thou according to thy will that we shall live and do this or that. Lord, there may be unexpected things, things that we do not anticipate, which shall come to pass. Lord, we pray for submission to thy will, that we may not be rebellious against what thou hast appointed, whatever that may be. May we realize that thou dost not afflict us willingly. It is not for any other reason than for the good of our souls, to correct us perhaps, to chasten us if we are in a wrong way or a wrong spirit. Lord, oh, we do beg that we may be reconciled to thy will, knowing that thou art too wise to err and too good to be unkind. Lord, we do pray for a blessing upon our nation. We have greatly departed from thy word. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt pour out thy spirit upon us, that we may be brought to repent, to confess our sin and to turn again unto thee. Have we not read, Lord, that where it is so, that thou wilt abundantly pardon? Oh, Lord, there is mercy with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Lord, we do pray for our Queen and her family. We thank thee, Lord, for sparing her to reign over us for so many years. And thou hast been good to us and to her in many ways. And Lord, we thank thee for this, and we pray that thou wilt yet be with her to strengthen and uphold her in a time to come. Lord, do bless each in her family. Grant that they may set a good example before the nation. Lord, when we sing that hymn, God Save Our Queen, oh, may there be indeed a knowledge of salvation in her heart and the hearts of others in the family, that they may acknowledge thy goodness and acknowledge thee in all that they do. Lord, we pray for our government, the Prime Minister, and those who have authority over us. And we pray that they too may be given wisdom to make right choices and decisions, that they may not seek that which is popular, but that which is right. And Lord, do thou bless those who do fear thy name. We have read of some who seem to be willing to stand fast for that which is right concerning marriage and perhaps other issues too. Lord, do encourage those that do stand fast for thy truth. Do uphold them and grant that their witness may be blessed. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt help us each in our lives to give that true witness to thee. Oh Lord, how we are conscious of the eye of the world being upon us, taking note of the things that we do and say. Lord, we pray that the fear of the Lord might rule in our hearts, that we might indeed have a tender conscience toward sin, not to be hardened, but to seek to be to walk in all things in accordance with thy word and with thy spirit. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt look down upon us each in mercy. Oh Lord, it is easy to see the sin around us and see the sins in others, but what about our own soul? Oh Lord, do grant that we may have our eyes turned inward, as it were, to look at our own heart and to see. Lord, shine upon us and enable us to see how we stand before thee. Lord, we are not right. We are sinners. We are guilty of breaking thy commands. We have turned against thy word. Oh Lord, do bring us in humility to confess our sins before thee. Lord, we shall not tell thee anything that thou dost not already know. Thou, God, seest me. Oh, may we not hold anything back then, but confess all of our sin. And Lord, we would plead with thee thine own word, that if we confess our sin, thou art just and faithful to forgive us our sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ, thy Son, cleanseth us from all iniquity. Lord, may that be our blessed portion, to know that our sins are forgiven through the precious blood of Christ. Lord, do hear us then in heaven, and when thou hearest, Lord, forgive anything we have asked for wrongly, and make up in giving the things that we have failed to ask for that we should. And Lord, do send thy help as we consider thy word, whether to one in speaking or to each in hearing. May all be done according to the Spirit of the Lord. Lord, do not withhold that from us this day, we pray, and bless thy word to thine own glory and for thy name's sake. We would ask all things in the precious and worthy name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 355. If we cannot sing this hymn with confidence, may we sing it as a prayer. The God I trust is true and just. His mercy has no end. Himself has said, my ransom's paid, and I on him depend. Hymn 355.
Complete dependence upon the Lord for all needed help, I direct your thoughts this morning to Isaiah chapter 61, and a part of verse 1, but the first three verses of this chapter are actually all one sentence, so I will just read those three verses before we come to that which is especially on our mind. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. The particular part in verse 1 that the Lord has laid on my spirit is this: to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. This word has, I suppose, its application to all that are sent to preach the good tidings of the gospel of God. But I think more than that, it all, not just those who are formally commissioned, as it were, to stand in a pulpit and preach, but all the Lord's people should, through the conduct of our lives, be preaching the good tidings of the gospel. The way in which we live our lives should be a witness and a testimony to what we believe, and to this wonderful gospel of God. But most especially, this word is, of course, spoken by Isaiah in a spirit of prophecy. And you can read in Luke chapter 4 how the Lord Jesus Christ himself makes it very clear that especially this word is speaking of himself. When he came to the synagogue in Nazareth and was passed the book that they were reading in, and it was this portion of scripture that was being read, and the Lord read the first and part of the second verse that we have here, and he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Clearly showing us that it is most particularly speaking of Christ. And now we need to understand that as we look through various aspects of it today. We can, as ministers of the Lord and as believers in Christ, we can set forth the truth to others. We need indeed the Spirit of the Lord God to help us to do that. But we can proclaim the tidings. But only God himself can give that application that will really result in the brokenhearted being bound up, as it were, in the captives being given liberty, in the prison being opened, and those who feel themselves to be prisoners going free. This is the work of God himself to do this, to apply his word with power. And it is my particular prayer today that the Spirit of the Lord God shall indeed be upon us, each of us. Yes, I have to speak, I have to set these things before you, but may the Spirit of the Lord God be upon you to receive them, to prepare your heart. I don't say this in any boastful sense, but just bear with me, that the best preaching, the clearest exposition of the truth will not do one any good except the Lord applies it with power. We are indeed a speaker and hearers alike completely dependent upon these opening words, the Spirit of the Lord God being upon us. May we know that, where something we perhaps may come back to this evening, but we have that lovely word in the Gospel, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty. May we know that in our hearts today. To proclaim liberty to the captives. I want to dwell especially upon this aspect this morning, to set before you, as the Lord shall help us, some of the reasons whereby we may be held captive. There are many reasons. We can not cover everything, but just to set before you four things especially that we have in the Word of God that show us how we can be held captive. But alongside each of those, to look at the liberty that the Gospel brings, the freedom from that captivity which Christ proclaims. The first of these things that I feel led to is this: the fear of man bringeth a snare. You younger ones, I expect, will know what a snare is, a loop of a wire hidden perhaps across an animal track or somewhere out of sight to catch the unwary animal. If it puts its head in the noose, or perhaps its foot, the wire will pull up tight and it will be held fast. Cannot escape. Now, it cannot deliver itself from that snare. And if it is left, in due course, it will die of starvation, if not of injury. It cannot release itself. We need, as we think of these things spiritually, we need to bear in mind the illustrations of the Word of God. We cannot deliver ourselves from this snare. What is the fear of man then that bringeth a snare? Well, perhaps some of you younger ones may be very fearful as to what others at school or in your neighbourhood will think of you. You cannot perhaps join in with all the things that they do, and you are worried about what their reaction will be. Will you lose your friendships? Will they tease you? Will they mock you? I say that doesn't only apply to the young, of course, but I think especially when we are younger, we have that fear of ridicule, fear of being teased. And indeed, children can be very cruel one to another, can't they? And we may fear these things. Perhaps there are things which are not wrong in themselves, but because they are planned to take place on a Sunday, for that reason, you cannot join in with them. And you are, as it were, in the fear of man. And it brings a snare. It makes you feel like a captive. Makes you feel tied down, as it were. Now, the fear of man may also be in this sense, that we, even as adults, we may fear what others will think of us. Fear to do or to say something, for fear of what the reaction may be. We need to be very careful in these things, that we do not bring a snare upon others. We need to look to the Word of God for that which is right, more than the traditions and customs that we may have. If they are based upon the Word of God, that is good. But we need to be sure they are. So there may be that fear. But especially I feel led to just bring this fear of man before you. The fear of speaking of what the Lord has done for our soul. Now I don't for one moment pretend that it is easy to speak to others of what God has done for us. Nowhere does the Word of God tell us that we shall have an easy life or an easy pathway. We should not expect it to be easy. But are we fearful where no fear is? Are we fearful of what others will think of us if we do speak out? Remember those four leprous men who went to the camp of the Assyrians. Now they were greatly blessed. They had an abundance given to them of gold and silver and changes of raiment. And they went away and hid it. Very, very sad to be in so much in the fear of man to hide the blessings that God has given us. It doesn't reflect any glory to God, does it? And this should be the great object of a believer's life, shouldn't it? Should to be to bring honour and glory and praise to God. Now we do not do that by silence. Those men were brought to an understanding of that. They said, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings." You see, here we have those words in this verse, to preach good tidings. Those men knew of good tidings. And they said, "We do not well." They said, "Let us arise now." You see, now they felt an urgency to do it and go and tell the king's household. So there are many aspects to this fear of man that brings a snare. And perhaps you can think of other things in your own life and experience that have tied you down because you are worried about the consequence, as it were, of revealing that to others. Now, what is the liberty that is proclaimed to those who are held captive in this way? Well, Psalm 24, which is a psalm of David, speaks very much to this point. "Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Why? Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." This is what will deliver us from such a snare, is the felt help of the Lord. And notice that God's great power is remarked upon here. "Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." We cannot really comprehend or understand the full power and majesty of God in creation, but if we just try to think of it, he who only had to speak to bring the world into existence where there was nothing before. This is the one of such almighty power, who is a help to his people. He can be a help to us as children to stand fast for that which is right, and not to worry about being teased or mocked, but to feel confident that we do the right thing by the help of God. He can help us to speak to his honour and to his glory. Indeed, we might put it round the other way, that without his help, we cannot do it. But remember that word, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You see, there is nothing that God cannot help with. May we be much in prayer for the help of God. In daily life, maybe in providential things, maybe in spiritual things, and often it can be hard to separate the one from the other, can't it? But may we know this liberty that is brought to the captives through the help of God. We depend upon that help, and Psalm 46, I think it is, reminds us he is a very present help. I do like that expression. We may have others around us, family and friends and so on, who would be very willing to help. They may not always have the ability to help us, but sometimes they do, and they may be very willing, but they may be a very great distance away from us. And if we were to call upon them for help, it may say, well, yes, I'll get in the car straight away and come to you, but it may take them an hour or two to get there. But God is a very present help. He is, as it were, on the spot. He is there, able to help as soon as we need that help, able to help when we cry unto him. Oh, the help of God has been a great blessing in delivering those who have felt to be in a snare. Then the second point is this. We read in Timothy, and how much we see this round about us today, and we reap the consequences of it. They that will be, that is, those who have a great desire to be, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Oh, this great desire to be rich. To be rich, it may be financially or in the material things that we possess. But it may go further than that. Perhaps you may say, well, that doesn't apply to us. Well, we need to be very careful how we dismiss these things. We do not know what temptations may come upon us. But I think also of Psalm 73, that psalm of Asaph. Asaph, undoubtedly a man of God, but he was greatly tempted, wasn't he, when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now, if you read that psalm, it doesn't mention money as such. There may have been that aspect to his temptation, but certainly there was the aspect that they seemed to have such an easy life. They were not in trouble as he was. They did not have any soul trouble. They did not have the same concerns that Asaph experienced. Everything seemed to be smooth and easy in their life. What a temptation that was to Asaph. And he tells us how close he came to falling under it, doesn't he? His steps had well nigh slipped. Almost gone in that temptation. But you notice that if we just turn to that, although he felt he had almost gone, when later he sees how it is in the end of the life of the wicked, we see how completely gone they were, how they are utterly consumed with terrors. It is a very terrible description, isn't it, there, given to us of hell. He says that when he went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. You see, he felt that he had been in a slippery place, but he had been upheld. His feet had almost gone. His steps had well nigh slipped, but not quite, not to destruction. The Lord had saved him. But he understood the end of the wicked. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. There is no glimmer of hope and no possibility of deliverance. They are utterly consumed with terrors. Now, this should be a warning to us as we may be tempted, as it were, to be rich, to seek after the things of this life in a wider sense, to have all our attention and our energies focused upon the things that this life can bring. Now, we are not unmindful or unthankful of many wonderful blessings and favours that God does give to us in this life, and we should give him the praise for them, but they should not take up too much of our attention. We should not always be thinking of the things of this life. Oh, what a snare it brings. We have that concerning the gospel, don't we? Often thought of that word, the seed that was sown that fell among the thorns, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. Have we reason to confess before God? There have been times when we have heard the word of God in such a state of mind and it's not brought forth any fruit because really our attention has been on the things of this life, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. It's those thorns have been rather like a snare. You know how we can get entangled, can't we, in the thorns and briars, and can be very difficult to get out. It can hold us very fast at times. What a snare then this may bring if we are not watchful, if we are not mindful more of our souls and of the spiritual things. But what is the antidote? What is the liberty to be proclaimed to such captives where the Spirit of the Lord is working? Well, it is where we began our reading. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money. You see, there is no need to be concerned with the riches of this life. This is something of real value. This water of life proclaimed through the gospel of God is not to be bought. It doesn't matter if you are rich or if you are poor, because money doesn't come into it. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Come, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without a price. Is it not a wonderful aspect of the gospel that it is free? That it is free. There are many who are labouring, as it were, to purchase the blessings of the gospel through their good deeds or through their good life, through giving money to charities or to churches and all those things, and they may well be good things in their own right, but they will not purchase the blessings of the gospel. This is for those who have nothing. We read elsewhere, don't we, how it is the poor who have the gospel preached unto them. They are the ones who feel their need of it and feel that they've got nothing with which to buy it. But praise God, money is not needed. Oh, it is this Spirit of the Lord, isn't it? Where the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, that will bring us to thirst. You see, this gospel is freely available in that sense, but it is addressed to those who are made to feel their need of it. It will not suit all. It is not there for all, but ho everyone that thirsteth. Thirst is, has the Spirit of God made you feel thirsty for these spiritual blessings? Now, no matter the riches of this world, they can't purchase anything of value to be compared to this water of life. Christ said himself, didn't he, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Come unto me. And we are reminded here, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? I drew the attention at the young people's meeting last evening to something we understand was said in the coronation service of our Queen, that she was presented with a Bible, and it was given with these words, that here is something of more value than anything else in the world. I haven't got those words exactly right, but stressing that this was more valuable than anything the world could afford. Now, the Queen is very rich, isn't she? Naturally speaking, one of the richest people in the world. But we cannot help but wonder how she views the Bible that was given to her. Does she esteem that more valuable than all those riches? But more to the point, what about you and I? We may not have, do not have, the riches to be compared to her, but do we have a Bible that is more valuable to us than anything she has? It is where this word is applied that it will make it valuable to us. It's not in the value isn't in the paper and the ink, is it? It's in what it stands for, what it means to our souls, because it is a living word in our hearts, blessed by the Spirit of the Lord God upon us. Do we know something of this liberty then to come freely in this gospel sense, to come unto Christ as we are, with all our needs, all our felt wants and lacks? Yes, indeed, mourning that we are not better, mourning that we have to come with so much sin still, but coming nonetheless because we cannot stay away, because there's nowhere else to go to seek this liberty and freedom from our sin. Oh, what does this gospel mean to you? To proclaim liberty to the captives. Then I want to come on to this aspect. The Lord's people, even when having been blessed by God, having been called by his grace, we do not always live thereafter in a spirit of liberty, do we? There are still times when our souls may be brought into captivity. Now, we read in Psalm 107, and bear in mind that the descriptions we have in this well-known psalm, they are of the redeemed of the Lord. It is easy perhaps to read them at first sight and think it is speaking of unbelievers, but it is speaking of the redeemed of the Lord. But still, they come into various circumstances and difficulties where they need to cry unto God. And one of them is this: such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. It speaks here, really, the illustration is of being held captive in a prison or something similar, isn't it? In the fetters and irons, held fast, captive. And why are they in such a position? Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. because they rebelled. Is there any soul here today that would dare say you have never been guilty of rebellion against the word of God? Is there any here today that is exercised that even at this moment you are rebelling against the word of God? It's a very solemn thing to know God speaking to us, to know God's command in our heart for something that we should do, and yet not to put it into practice. I've thought a great deal for a long time of that question which the Lord Jesus asked of those when he was here on earth. And there is no valid answer to that question, but it is a question that we do well to think about. He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" When we call someone Lord, we are effectively saying they have a right to rule over us. They have a right to command us. We are the servant, they are the master. And yet we don't do what they say. Why? Why do you do that? There's no valid answer to that question, is there? The answer, the explanation is this, that we are sinners, that we are hypocrites, that we say one thing and we do something else. We say this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We say that he has an undisputed right to rule over us. And yet when it comes to it, we say, "Oh, I can't do that. That's too difficult. Oh, that wouldn't suit me to have to follow in that particular command or to do that particular thing." And we are held captive because we rebel. It is a very simple and clear explanation given to us here, isn't it? Because they rebelled against the words of God. And if you know this morning a word from the Lord, a command that you should be fulfilling, whatever that may be, and you are not doing it, don't be surprised that you're bound in affliction and iron. Don't be surprised that you're held captive. The word of God tells you it will be so because they rebelled. Now you may say, and we know what it is to feel this way, that what the Lord requires of us is too great. We cannot do it. It is beyond our power to fulfill. Well, it may well be beyond our power, but it is not beyond, as we said at the beginning, not beyond God's power to help us to fulfill it. Whatever, I was thinking about this morning, I hope it's not wrong to put it this way, but it does seem to me this, whatever you and I have been asked to do, or not asked to do, commanded to do by God, it cannot be harder, really, than that which Abraham was commanded to do. Abraham was told, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Would you exchange what you have been commanded to do with having to do that? I very much doubt it. What a terrible thing that was for Abraham to have to contemplate. Not only that he had a natural love to Isaac and that Isaac was his only son, the son of his wife, but also that God had promised that it was through Isaac that the nation should be built up, that there should be a great people to follow through Isaac. And here he was as a lad, we don't know exactly how old, as I would judge it, he would have been in his mid-teens or something like that. And certainly not married and certainly no children of his own. And Abraham was told to offer him. And notice this, it only struck me, though we've read that passage many, many times, but only struck me recently, offer him there for a burnt offering. Doesn't only imply, as was clearly the case, that Abraham was to take a knife and to kill Isaac, but he was to offer him as a burnt offering. His whole body was to be destroyed in the flames, and there would only have been the ashes left. We can perhaps think of someone recovering from a stab wound, but to be burnt up. And yet, we know from the Hebrews that Abraham had faith to believe that God would raise him up again from the dead. Oh, what faith Abraham showed in being willing to fulfill that command that God had given him. And notice this also, Abraham rose up early in the morning. He didn't put it off. He didn't say, well, if I wait a bit longer, perhaps some other command will come that will contradict that and I won't have to do it after all. He rose up early in the morning to put into practice the command that God had given him. Now, very wonderfully, God freed him from having to go through with that. You know how when he was on the very point of slaying Isaac, God called to him and showed him the ram that was caught in the thicket. The lamb, you see, the freedom that was brought to Abraham was through the captivity of that ram. The ram that was held fast in the thicket by his horns. The thicket, the briars, very often in Scripture represent sin, don't they? It was when Adam and Eve sinned that God said that the earth would bring them forth. And what a picture that is of the Lord Jesus Christ, held there as a substitute for his people. And Abraham offered the ram up in the place of Isaac his son. Now, God wonderfully blessed Abraham at that time. Because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, I say, and I would say it gently and encouragingly, friend, if there is one here who is bound in affliction and iron because you are rebelling against the clear word of God, think of that example of Abraham. It was by faith that he continued. He couldn't, I think it would again be right to say in his own strength, he couldn't possibly have gone through with that trial without rebelling. But God gave him great faith. So he believed, even if he had to go through with it right to the end, that God would still bless him through Isaac by raising Isaac up again. Oh, the faith that God gives can bring liberty to the captives, can't it? Those who cannot perform that which is appointed for them in their own strength. May we not do it through the faith that we have in God, that he will supply all of our need, because thou hast obeyed my voice. I want just lastly to touch on this fourth aspect of captivity. We read in the second chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage through fear of death. How is it with our soul and our experience? Do we have that any fear of death? Well, there are many who indeed are subject all their lifetime to that fear. It's not a fear which necessarily comes upon those who are more elderly, but may come upon children too, that they have a fear. Now, naturally, the human heart fears that which is unknown, but really, in a sense, to the believer, is it an unknown? Are we not told what to expect in heaven above? Yes, it's true, we don't have every detail and every particular, but the word of God is very clear that he will be with his people, and especially in this aspect, as we read it here. Wherefore, it in all things it behoved him, this is speaking of Christ, to be made like unto his brethren, to take a human form, to take upon him the seed of Abraham, as it is set forth here, not to take the nature of an angel, but in order that he also might suffer death. An angel could not die, but through taking upon him that human form, he suffered death, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and to deliver them who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And he says that, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succour, that is, to help and to provide comfort to them that are tempted. There is any one here today held fast in this bondage of the fear of death? Well, here is the liberty that Christ proclaims, that he himself, having been tempted, is able to help, to comfort, to encourage those who are tempted, even in that temptation, to deliver them. Oh, the wonderful mercy of God that we see here, that he humbled himself to such an extent to come down to this world, to take upon him the nature, this human nature in this sense, the human body, to suffer death. But perhaps we do not make enough of the resurrection of Christ. How essential it is, you can see in the Acts of the Apostles, how they emphasized that Christ was indeed risen from the dead. He triumphed over death. He destroyed him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. How gloriously that was displayed in his own resurrection from the dead. Now, he is able to help. He is able to comfort in all temptations, but we think especially of this temptation, of the fear of death. May any that have that concern be granted liberty through the consideration of what Christ has done, how he took upon him that body, suffered on behalf of his people, as we've said, like the ram in place of Isaac. So Christ suffered in place of his people, bearing the punishment due to their sin. And yet, that could not hold him. He rose triumphant over it. Oh, how we should praise and bless God for this liberty then that he proclaims, that he applies to his people. May we know much of this Spirit of the Lord being upon us, applying this word with power to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are abound. May the Lord so bless us each and pardon anything I've said amiss. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £675, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Warboys will address the Sunday school this afternoon, Mr. Pont will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Fred Ince next Lord's Day, who will, God willing, administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 673. When Jesus' gracious hand has touched our eyes and ears, oh, what a dreary land the wilderness appears. No healing balm springs from its dust, no cooling stream to quench the thirst. Hymn 673.
Thank you.
do pray that according to thy mercy upon us each, there might be that spirit of the Lord God, and that thou wilt lead us and bring us into liberty from the many captivities that we experience. Indeed, we have to confess, Lord, through our own faults and follies and through our own rebellion, Lord, thou art a kind and gracious and merciful God. As we may be brought to mourn over these things, Lord, may we know that liberty and comfort that there is in the gospel for those that feel their need. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of Christ the Son, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.